If you take out your Bibles and turn over to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 19, the title of the message this morning is From Fringe to Fold. You know, it's very easy at times to feel on the fringes, to feel a little bit kind of on the outskirts. And yet God's desire is for all of us to feel very much in the thick of things, to feel very much welcome, to be in the fold. And last week we looked at a woman who was bleeding for 12 years, and because of her illness, she was an outcast in the community. And today we're going to be looking at Zacchaeus, who likewise, because of his profession, would have been considered to be an outcast in society. But before we get into that, last night I had the chance to go to the first of the parenting workshops being held in central London. We'll be starting ours at the end of this month, and we'll have our very own Diana will be doing the workshop for all of us in the East. Of course, we're all welcome to go to the ones in central London as well. They've been held every fortnight. And so last night was the first one. Adrian Morin did that, and it was really, really very moving. There was about 60 or plus people there, and he showed lots of different clips from different movies just to really help us to understand just this whole idea of some of the issues and challenges involved in raising our children in a way that's going to help them. And as I sat there watching, I was very challenged, very convicted, but also very encouraged that we have this available to us so that we can learn how to be better parents. In fact, actually, one of the clips that they showed was it was from an Indian film, and the film was called, I can't even pronounce it, Ka Zameen Pa. How many of you have seen that? Maybe I just got it wrong. Okay, maybe there's one or two. I think it's roughly translated, I think it means stars on earth. But it was about a little boy who was very much an outcast, and he's very much on the fringes, partly because he was struggling with just being able to read. He was dyslexic, but his parents didn't really understand, or the teachers didn't really understand, and as a result, he was very much kind of like a bit of an outcast. And eventually his parents, because he's failing at school, they pack him off to a boarding school, and they showed another clip of that, which I could totally relate to. And just seeing his mum driving off, and he was just standing there in the cold, and I thought, wow, that was just so sad. So I actually stole some of those clips, and I thought I'd show just from that film today. I've checked with Diana. She said that you better make sure you give credit. She's going to be using these. We'll see them again. But the things I wanted to share was just about just how it's so easy just to be on the fringes, to be out in the cold. And anyway, I just want to show the first clip.
Class, turn to page 38, chapter 4, paragraph 3. We're going to mark adjectives today. That goes for you as well, Ishana Vasti. Page 38, chapter 4, paragraph 3. Can I have your attention, Ishan? Ishan! I said page 38, chapter 4, paragraph 3. Read the first sentence and point out the adjectives. Page 38, Ishan. Adit Labba, just help the boy. Come on, the rest of you, look into your books. Read the first sentence and tell me what the adjectives are. Okay, come on. Let's all mark the adjectives together. Just read the sentence for me. Just read the sentence, Ishan.
Ye to naach rahe.
Silence! Speak in English.
The letters are dancing.
They are dancing, are they? Okay, then read the dancing letters. Trying to be funny? Read the sentence loud and proper. I said loud and proper, Ishan. Loud and proper. believe his will? Who is laughing here? Who wants to follow him? I don't want to hear a titter in my class. Look at your books. Shameless boy. Open your books now. Who's going to tell me what the adjectives are?
Let's look in Luke 19. In verse 1 it says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. I can relate to Zacchaeus on many fronts. Being wealthy is not one of them. Here's a man who would have been an outcast. Why? Because he was a tax collector. And tax collectors were not popular then, just as they're not popular today either. But more than that, he was a chief tax collector. And you know, his interest in the taxes would be to make them as high as possible, because that's how he made his money. He would have been hated by the society. In fact, whenever the Jews were talked about Jesus, they said he's gone to be the guest of a sinner, or he associates with sinners and tax collectors. They were the pariah. They weren't particularly appreciated. Not only that, he was wealthy. Now, there's something about being wealthy which can make you, if you're wealthy and you're among other people who are not so wealthy, people can be envious. And they can look at you and look down on you or look up to you, but secretly hate you. You know, he was wealthy, he was a tax collector. In fact, he wasn't just a tax collector, he was a chief tax collector. And then the Bible says also he was very short as well. And being a short man, again, that has its challenges too. And you know, it's interesting because when you look at people like this, it's very easy to think, well, they've got it all, and not really to put yourself into their shoes and think, well, what must life be like for them? And we can sometimes see things just from a one-sided perspective. You know, it's interesting because you see in that film clip, here's that little boy, and everyone's looking at him, and the poor kid, he has a disability. But in some ways, it's not really recognized. And so he's on the fringes. He can feel kind of insecure, and the teacher doesn't help at all. In fact, she just thinks he's trying to be funny. She calls him names, and it's just so unhelpful. You know, it's funny, we can come to church, and sometimes we can feel on the fringes, can't we? Sometimes we can feel like, well, there's some things going on in our lives that other people don't understand or they can't relate to, and because of that, it kind of sets us apart. And because we feel set apart, we don't feel like we're part of the group, we don't feel like we're totally connected, and so we can be in a crowd of people and yet be lonely in a crowd. You know, when Leslie was sharing about being stopped by the police as a 12-year-old and being searched in front of the people at the bus stop, that reminded me of my childhood. I was stopped so many times growing up that actually I just thought it was normal part of life. And you know, and because of my circumstances, that I was sent off to a boarding school when I was very young, and at my school, I was very different, not just because of my social standing, but also because of my colour and culture. And so I was always on the fringes. It felt normal to me. And so if I was stopped by the police, it didn't bother me at all. In actual fact, I thought it was quite a good thing because it meant I got attention. And I remember being stopped outside Caledonian Road Station, and they would search me, and people would be walking by, and it didn't bother me at all. But you know, that's not how everyone feels. And we've got to be able to put ourselves in other people's shoes and think, how do they feel? Sometimes we come to church and we see people who are kind of like sitting on their own, or people who are kind of standing and they're not really talking to anyone. Do we make the effort to really reach out? You know, one of the things that the church in the Bible was known for, it was known for welcoming the outcasts of society. It was known for welcoming those people who were on the fringes. In fact, actually, the church was despised for that very reason, that it was made up of a bunch of sinners. Of course, everyone's a sinner, But not everyone sees themselves that way. We can be lonely in the crowd. You know, if we're in that situation, and that's us, let me encourage you, let people in. Let people know. If only, you know, this kid in the film, Ishan, he couldn't articulate what his issues really were. He could say, well, the letters are dancing, but he couldn't really explain just the challenges he faced. But for us, if we are feeling kind of on the fringes, I want to encourage us, let people know. Talk about what it is that you feel like sets you apart. Because the only way for others to really be able to reach out to you is if they can understand where you are coming from. And in some ways, so much of how we make that connection, it depends on how much effort we're willing to make ourselves. Just putting ourselves out there, it can be a challenging thing. It can be kind of difficult. It can make us feel a bit vulnerable. You know, it's funny because sometimes we can look at people, we can think they've got it all together. They don't have the problems that I face. I look at someone like Alex Boateng, for example. He's just such a together guy. Always seems to be able to connect with people, say the right things. He's getting embarrassed now. He's blushing. You can't tell. I was reading on Facebook. You know, there's Caleb's brother Reese. He wrote in his status one day. He was going through his friends list. He says I've got two Wongs in my friends list. Is Annie Wong and is Naomi Wong? So Alex, quick as a flash, writes two Wongs don't make a right. And I thought, I read that, I thought, I wanted to say that. But you know, you have people who just seem like they've got it all together. And we can feel like, oh, I'm just not like that. I just don't have that kind of connection. I'm just not it. And it can make us feel a little bit kind of out of things. But I want to encourage us, if you feel out of things, then decide, you know what? I'm going to redouble my efforts, triple my efforts, do whatever I need to do to allow people to understand me and understand where I'm coming from. Don't be lonely in the crowd, but make a decision to get connected. On Friday evening at our midweek meeting, we had an opportunity, after just a very short lesson, to split up into small groups, into our little family groups, and have a chance to really share about some defining moments in our lives. And that, for me, was a very moving time. Because in our small groups, we're able to just talk and get to know one another just that little bit deeper. And you know, it's amazing just how, once you understand a little bit more about people and the things that have shaped their lives, how it makes you feel closer. If you weren't here on Friday, then you missed out on an opportunity just to feel that little bit more tied in and connected. I want to encourage all of us, let's decide, because we can't know every single person to a great depth, but we can know a smaller group. Get involved in a family group. Come on Fridays. Have an opportunity to build those deeper relationships. That way we won't have to be lonely in the crowd. Second point is we don't want to lose the connection. In verse 5, it says, when Jesus reached the spot, or let's pick up in verse 4. Talking about Zacchaeus, he was short, he couldn't see because of the crowd, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. Of course, that was the common response in those days. You associate with a tax collector, well, they're a sinner. I can't believe Jesus is connecting with him. What on earth is going on? But you know, the problem with the crowd is they're looking at Zacchaeus and they don't understand where he's coming from. Zacchaeus wanted that connection. He was willing to run ahead and climb up a tree. He's a grown man, a man who's in a position of responsibility, willing to look a fool, willing to look stupid so he could see Jesus. He wanted that connection. He's, dare I say, he was willing to go out on a limb for Jesus. But he was willing to make that connection. You know, we've got to have that kind of a heart and that kind of a spirit where we don't want to lose the connection. You know, I was on the phone to Wally just yesterday, and every time we're talking, and for some reason his phone kept cutting out. I could hear him perfectly, but he couldn't hear me. So we'd be talking, and then he'd be saying, "Hello? Hello?" And I say, "Yes, Wally, I can hear you." And he'd go, "Hello? Hello? Are you still there?" And I'm saying, "Wally, I'm here. Can you hear me?" And he'd go, "Hello? Hello? What's going on with this phone?" And I can hear every word he's saying. "What is, I can't, and so he hung up. And that's why I rang him. And I said, "Wally." He said, "Yes." I said, "I can hear every word you were saying." He said, "Oh, I couldn't hear you. It just gone blank." And so we carried on talking for a while, and then the same thing happened again. And then he's like, "Hello? Hello?" And I said, "Wally." He's like, "Mike, if you can hear me, I'm going to call you back." And so he hung up, and he called me back again. He said, "It's this new phone. It's for some reason, it just keeps cutting out." And it happened 3 times. And then he called me back and said, "You know what, Mike, I've figured it out." He said, "I had my finger on the volume button. I kept turning the volume down. That's just why I couldn't hear you." But when you're trying to talk to someone, and the connection's kind of cutting in, cutting out, you hate those kinds of conversations. You know, when you're talking to someone on mobile, and they're driving, and they're going in and out of a bad reception area, it's just very annoying, isn't it? But we don't want to have that. We want to be connected. We want to be able to understand. And in our fellowship, we want to be able to really have a connection with one another, and not just make judgments, because that's what the crowd were doing with Zacchaeus. They're saying, "He's just a sinner," and they just wrote him off. Instead of deciding like Jesus, "No, actually, I want to get to know this person." Jesus, look at his example. He comes to the spot where Zacchaeus is, and he calls him by name. Zacchaeus. How did Jesus know his name? He called him by name, and he has a connection with him, and he says, "I want to come to your house." And Zacchaeus is eager for that. He may be a sinner in the eyes of the world, but he had a heart for it. He wanted to be with Jesus. And we've got to be able to understand. There's another clip in the film I wanted to show you, where you see the father has made the decision to send his package son off to boarding school, where they'll sort him out. And the kid clearly doesn't want to go. But the father thinks he's doing what's in the child's best interest. Of course, you say the dad loves his son, and he only wants what is best for him. But he's not connected with how the son is really feeling. And so he's kind of lost that connection. Let's have a look at that.
Thank you much. Good night. Bye. Done.
But in the middle of the term?
Suresh Kapadia's uncle is the school's founder trustee. I'll meet the management and pay up the fees tomorrow.
No way I'm going. I'm not going to go.
Vishant, shut up and finish your dinner quietly.
I won't go.
Let him at least complete this year and then... I mean, Nandu, he's never been away from me.
Well, it's high time he learned. Didn't you hear what the principal said? They won't let him stick around next year. They'll definitely fail him again. Then where will we go? Look at him glaring. No bloody regret on his face. At boarding school, they'll straighten you out good and proper. Today he's got your aunt to forge a note. Who knows what's next? Trust me, Maya, I know. I'm his father. I know we can't afford the fees, but we'll manage somehow. The term begins after Diwali.
Papa, please. Papa, don't send me away, Papa. Papa, please. Papa, I don't want to go to boarding school, Papa. Papa, I don't want to go to boarding school. Please, Mama. Please tell Papa that I don't want to go to boarding school. I don't want to go.
Okay, quiet.
Thank you much. Good night. Bye. Bye.
You know, it's interesting because that father, he says they didn't have the money to pay for the fees, but they'd figure it out somehow. And clearly he was willing to make sacrifices for his son, but he just wasn't in touch. He just didn't have the connection. And you know, we can feel that way. We can feel like we've lost connection, or people just aren't in touch with us. You know, that for many years, I was totally oblivious to my need for relationships. I was so disconnected that even bad things that had happened in my life, I hadn't even realized these are bad. You know, God wants us to be connected. God wants us not to be lonely in the crowd, But also God wants to let us in from the cold. Look here in verse 8. It says, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Jesus' sole purpose for coming to earth was to seek and to save what was lost. His desire is that those who are separated from God can have an opportunity to be reconnected with God. That those who are outcast by society, who are discarded by the world, he wants to find them and bring them home. You know, later on in that same chapter in Luke 19, after he's left Jericho, he's made his way to Jerusalem, and he's approaching Jerusalem in verse 41, it says, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. Jesus had a heart for the world, to the point where he looked at the city as he was approaching Jerusalem and he's weeping. Because he knows they're going to reject him, then he knows that they're going to crucify him, and many of them will miss their opportunity to be right with God. This happened back in chapter 13. Look in chapter 13. Another time when he was approaching Jerusalem. And verse 34. He says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Jesus' heart, it says it's like a mother hen, just wanting to gather her chicks. His heart is he wants to bring everyone under his wing. He wants the people to come back into God's fold. That's Jesus' heart. But, he says, you were not willing. You know, if we want to be in from the cold, we have got to be willing to make the necessary changes. Zacchaeus was willing. Zacchaeus, his heart was, look, Lord, here and now, I'll give half my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anyone out of anything, I'll pay them back four times as much. He had a willingness, and Jesus then was able to declare in front of everyone, this man too is a son of Abraham. Salvation has come to this house. And he wanted people to know he's been forgiven. He's no longer a sinner. That's Jesus' heart. No one likes to be in the cold. You know, we've not either physically or emotionally, and especially spiritually. We're just in the process of getting our loft converted and to be able to provide an extra room for Julie's dad to stay with us on a permanent basis. And you know, just that as they build the loft, and then what they do is at some point they have to break through the ceiling to put in some stairs to go up to the loft, and they did that for us this week. And as they break through the ceiling, then there's this big old draft coming in, because not all the windows are put in upstairs yet, and so there's a big old draft come down, and now all of a sudden the house feels cold. And we had a time when we were left without a boiler, as Andy came in to change our boiler from the old one to get rid of the water tanks and replace it with a new one. There's a time when we didn't have a boiler and there's no heating and it's freezing. And we didn't like that. And so when the new boiler arrived, I was very keen to get that in, and Andy was there. And somehow, before they put the stairs in, we had to get this new boiler up to the top of the house. And you know, the builders had left a little pulley with a rope there, which they'd used to pull up some materials. And so we thought, let's use this pulley to get this boiler up. And this boiler is heavy. And so there was Willem was there, and there was Andy, and I was around, and of course, I'm paying Andy and Willem to do the job, but they're like, we need a hand to get this boiler up there. I said, okay, because I don't want to be in the cold, I'm willing to lend a hand. And so Willem had to go up on top to once the boiler got up there, he could steer it onto the platform. And someone had to go underneath the ladder to protect to help the boiler, and we put a ladder there, and someone had to pull it up. And so they chose the smallest guy to pull this boiler up on the rope. And so there's me, I'm pulling this rope with the boiler tied to it, and Andy is underneath at the boiler on the ladder. And as we got, he'd gone a few steps, and then he looked at me and he said, are you okay? And of course, I didn't realize how heavy this would be. After just a few pulls, my arms are tired already. And Andy's concerned because if I should let go, he's under the boiler. And he said, "Are you okay?" I said, "I think so." He says, "You're not going to let go, are you?" I said, "Of course I'm not going to let go, because, you know, I wanted my boiler put in." And of course I was concerned for Andy, because, you know, good song leaders, we're in short supply. And so I said, no. And so I'm pulling, and eventually we got it up there, and the boiler's in, and now the house is lovely and toasty. But none of us want to be out in the cold, and what it's going to take is a willingness on our part to do whatever we need to in order to be right with God. You know, Zacchaeus was willing. He was willing to look a fool. He was willing to climb a tree. He was willing to change his ways. He was willing to give up half his possessions. And I bet if Jesus had asked him, he would have willingly given up more. At the end of chapter 18, Jesus was talking about how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. In fact, with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. Chapter 19, it starts off with Zacchaeus was rich. But with God all things are possible. And no matter how much of an outcast, no matter how much on the fringe, no matter how much we feel we're just not connected, God is able to make the difference. Why? Because his heart is he wants us to go from fringe to fold. Just 3 points. We can be lonely in the crowd, or we can make a decision to be connected. You don't need to lose a connection. And you can come in from the cold, because God lets us in from cold if we are willing. I just want to close out just by showing you just a final clip. And just in this film where he's left at the boarding school. But it's this whole idea that Jesus, like a mother hen, he wants to welcome us in. We don't always make the right decisions. But if we are willing, then we can let God help us to be connected again.
Let's move, we are getting late. Are you through now? Come on, come.
मैं कभी बतलाता नहीं, तो अंधेरे से डरता हूँ मैं माँ. यूँ तो मैं दिखलाता नहीं, तेरी परवाह करता.
Go to the dormitory and change your clothes. It's time for dinner. Come on.
तुझे सब है पता है ना माँ, तुझे सब है पता मेरी माँ. भीड़ में यूँ ना छोड़ो मुझे, घर लौट के भी आना पाऊँ माँ. भेजना इतना दूर मुझको तू, याद भी तुझको आना पाऊँ माँ. क्या इतना बुरा हूँ मैं माँ, क्या इतना बुरा हूँ मैं माँ. अच्छा इतना बुरा
What's that? You're still sitting here? You haven't changed yet?
Go on, change your clothes. Come on.
जब भी कभी पापा मुझे जोर जोर से झूला झूलाते हैं माँ मेरी नजर ढूंढे तुझे सोचू यही दुआ के था मैं ये कहता नहीं पर मैं सहम जाता हूँ माँ चेहरे पे आने देता नहीं दिल ही दिल में घबराता हूँ माँ तुझे सब है पता है ना तुझे सब है पता मेरी माँ मैं कभी बतलाता नहीं पर अंधेरे से डरता हूँ मैं माँ यूं तो मैं दिखलाता नहीं तेरी परवाह करता हूँ मैं माँ तुझे सब है पता है ना माँ तुझे सब है पता मेरी माँ
I thought I'd stop it because it gets more depressing. Just to say that if you feel lonely in the crowd or if you feel you've lost the connection, you can be led in from the cold if you are willing. God says in Jeremiah 31, he says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. I will build you up again. God's heart is he wants us to be right with him and with his family, but we have to be willing. Amen.
Thanks, Mike. When Mike came down before the last clip, he must have seen me depressed and in tears about the clip, but he said, it all ends good, he says. It all ends good. And I was relieved, amen. Somebody understands him, and obviously he's brought back into the fold. But I think for a lot of us, there is, as Luke 19 shares, just about Zacchaeus, and I know for me, reading that passage many, many years ago and understanding God's love, there is a, and I think as a church, probably many years ago, we didn't quite understand, I believe, that just that some differences, and on Friday night, again, was a time for the church to talk about events in our lives that have really helped us or shaped us in one way or the other. And then just being able to grow in depth in our understanding of each other and having that time to talk and connect really is a great opportunity to grow in love and respect. And it was fantastic. And I'd like to encourage us all to really throw off our ideas of how we grow. You might think, well, I don't need anyone. I can do this on my own. I know growing up as a young boy, I studied engineering because I thought that I understood metals and machines. You press them, you get a response. I thought, I can understand that. But people, you press them, you get about 50 different responses. And I couldn't make sense of it. I thought, well, let me just study science. At least I can understand that. But obviously, as I've grown up and through the years and understanding myself better and the scriptures, seeing what God is like, God understands us a lot more than we understand ourselves. And he says, really, start to open up. Talk openly, be free with what you say. Understand grace, understand righteousness when things are not right in your life and you have an opportunity to repent. But at the same time, understand that we are not judging. We can't judge each other. God will be the judge. We can help each other to be right before God. So I want to thank Mike. Please take these words with you for the week. We're going to close with a word of prayer. And then please, if you're a parent, please collect your children. Let's close with a word of prayer. Almighty God, it's so wonderful to know that you are actively involved in our lives. Thank you for the passage we just saw with Zacchaeus. On one hand, the community around him really looked down upon him, and he was seen as a sinner and somebody who wasn't acceptable in society. And Father, to see your Son come and completely turn that around, whereby Zacchaeus is elevated to a son of God in just a few minutes, is amazing. Father, help us to accept your invitation, Father, to fellowship with you, to connect with you, to be warm and well fed with you, O God. And I pray you'll help us to throw off our inhibitions and just gladly accept the grace and the kindness that you offer. Father, help us to be sensitive with one another. Help us to respect one another. Help us to speak the truth to one another. Help us to build one another up. I pray, God, that as a people we will grow by knowing you and by knowing each other better. Father, we thank you for this time. Help us to put the words we've read and heard into practice. We thank you in your Son's name. Amen. As a parent, please collect your children and have a great time of fellowship. Amen.